And now let's turn to international news for a few minutes as we check in with our colleagues at the BBC. This morning we're joined by Rich Preston from London. And Rich, let's begin in Africa. It's a big week for the country of Sudan. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, in short, Lauren, it's on the road to civilian rule. Now, this all started in April when President Omar al-Bashir was ousted. He had been in power for 30 years, a power solidified by a tight relationship with top military commanders. There were months of tension after he was forced from office, with people commenting on what was going to come next. The military promised a return to civilian rule, then it didn't happen. Then they promised it again. Then it didn't happen again. There were prolonged demonstrations outside military barracks, some of which turned violent. But this weekend, military and civilian leaders finally signed a landmark power-sharing deal.
So what does this mean for the country?
Well, one would hope peace, and in turn, better economic and political security for the country and the potential benefits those bring with them. Now, Sudan sits with Egypt to the north and Ethiopia and Eritrea to the east and has significant access to the Red Sea. But it suffered for years from civil conflict, especially around issues like oil revenue. It'll now have what's called a sovereign council made up of both military and civilian leaders. This transitional government is due to last 3 years. Now, it's important to say that the leaders of South Sudan and of Egypt were present at this weekend's events, and that's key because as Sudan builds itself up, the support of its neighbours is vital. There's often a nervousness about new rulers in African countries and whether it will really usher in a new era of democracy or whether it'll end up being more of the same. Here's our Africa editor, Mary Harper.
The military says it will abide fully with the agreement, but suspicions linger. Some fear the paramilitary commander, General Hameti, will manipulate the process and cling on to power. There are still many challenging steps ahead before elections scheduled for 2022. It's unclear whether the military and civilian members of the new council will be able to overcome their deep distrust of each other and build a new Sudan.
Now remember, Lauren, this is a country that's seen extended periods of violence and has links to Islamist extremism. Sudan was one of the countries on President Trump's travel ban, for example, and a man accused of an attempted terror attack here in the UK last year was from Sudan. So again, the presence and pressure and support of neighbours and of the African Union and of the wider international community, including the US, to keep Sudan on course for peaceful, democratic civilian rule is vital. We're going to be watching developments this week as this country of some 40 million takes these tentative steps towards open democracy.
And now let's move on to Russia, where later this week, Rich, we're expecting the release of Alexei Navalny. He's a vocal critic against Russia's president, Vladimir Putin. What's he been detained for?
Well, a key word to add here, Lauren, is again. We're anticipating Mr. Navalny's release again after he was detained again. He's been jailed more than 10 times since 2011. On this occasion, it was a 30-day sentence after being found guilty of calling an unauthorised protest. Last month, he ended up in hospital whilst still in detention. Authorities said he'd suffered an allergic reaction. He said he was poisoned. It's worth adding, we say we expect his release because it's not totally unfathomable that in the days leading up to it, new charges may appear.
And tell us more about him. Who is Alexei Navalny?
Well, without doubt, one of the most visible opponents to Vladimir Putin. In particular, he's a heavy social media user and appeals to younger Russians. He's a former lawyer and political activist and became a Yale World Fellow in 2010. He really started being noticed in 2008, however, blogging about corruption at some of Russia's big state-controlled companies. He's urged his followers to vote against any party that isn't UR, United Russia, the party of Vladimir Putin. Mr. Navalny calls it the party of crooks and thieves. That's a phrase which has stuck. But he's never actually challenged Mr. Putin at the ballot box. He was stopped from running in the 2018 presidential vote over a conviction of embezzlement which barred him from running. He denies the allegations, saying the charges were politically motivated. Despite his repeated imprisonment, he's vowed to fight on. We'll wait to see if indeed he's released later on this week.
Yeah, and Rich, this comes amid plans for another major protest in Russia on Saturday. These are all ahead of upcoming elections in Moscow. What are the protesters demanding here?
Well, it's largely focused on the candidates running in the vote. Now, numerous opposition people wanted to run and were told they needed 5,000 signatures in support of them to appear on the ballot paper. They were then told their signatures were invalid, hence the protests, which have led to many of them being detained in what many say was a violent suppression by the police. Mobile phone footage showing police beating protesters has only enraged them further. Here's our correspondent in Moscow, Sarah Rainsford.
And at the latest massive rally, the biggest one so far on the 10th of August, that was a real rallying cry. A lot of the speakers saying that these are now political prisoners and they have to be released. And there's another new twist now with a lot of celebrities, including rappers and musicians with huge followings amongst young Russians who are joining the protest movement.
I think people are speaking out and, you know, I'm here for the first time ever. I've never been to a protest in my life, so.
Why now? Why did you join this one?
The boiling point has been reached. I guess that's it.
That's the BBC's Sarah Rainsford in Moscow.
And Rich, what does the Kremlin say about these protests?
Well, they haven't said much, to be honest, and when they have, it's been highly dismissive of them. President Putin hasn't addressed the crowds, or the arrests, or the accusations of police brutality. His spokespeople say there's no crisis and therefore no need for him to get involved. We'll be watching what happens this coming weekend to see if the protests go ahead and what kind of reception they get from police.
All right, and we'll be watching along with you. That's the BBC's Rich Preston joining us from London. Rich, thanks as always.
Thanks, Lauren.